Washington, D.C. is preparing for next Saturday's inauguration of President-elect George W. Bush. It's a ritual very familiar to Philip Hamburger. He's attended inaugurations since the 1930s and has written about them since the 40s. He's a writer for The New Yorker magazine and author of a new book, Matters of State, A Political Excursion. It includes profiles of the many political figures and events Hamburger has covered in his long career, including fond memories of his first inauguration. He was an 18-year-old in college at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and he and a buddy made the trip to D.C. It was March 1933, the first inauguration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
It was a very dull, overcast, gray day in Washington. Of course, I had no tickets. I was just a college student, and a very nice, kind Marine, seeing we had no tickets, we went up to the Capitol. Big crowds gathering, and he pointed up into a tree, a leafless tree, and he said, I think that's probably your best seat.
Yeah.
And up I went, and there was a delay. Things did not start precisely on time, and there were many, many sad rumors. Rumor that Roosevelt had been shot along the way on Pennsylvania Avenue. That there were troops moving around the city. All of these, of course, were false.
Sure.
And then suddenly the great doors opened in the Capitol, and all of a sudden there was a great hush came over the crowd as those doors opened, and down the ramp came President-elect Roosevelt, moving, of course, with immense dignity and almost unbearable slowness on the arm of his son James. And I doubt that people in that audience realized that this remarkable man was carrying in his completely crippled legs 10 or more pounds of heavy steel. Mm-hmm. And he finally, of course, reached the podium.
This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
That was by all odds the most impressive and the most moving, not only because of the stature that Mr. Roosevelt achieved during his unbelievable speech, but it was the absolute depth of the Depression. The banks were about to close, and at least 25%, literally 25% of the people in the country were unemployed. Farms were being foreclosed, businesses were totally gone. And Mr. Roosevelt, in this speech, galvanized the nation.
What was the first inauguration you covered as a journalist?
Harry Truman's inauguration.
What was that like?
Oh, boy. Well, of course, this was a remarkable thing because everybody had, as we know, the famous headline, the Chicago Tribune, Dewey defeats Truman. The general feeling was that it was a cinch for Dewey to win. Mm-hmm. And when Harry Truman did win, it was a very dignified and very solemn occasion.
Mr. Chief Justice, fellow citizens, I accept with humility the honor which the American people have conferred upon me. I accept it with a resolve to do all that I can for the welfare of this nation and for the peace of the world.
There was an office pull, and A.J. Liebling, one of my more celebrated colleagues, and I were among the only two who put their money on Harry Truman, and we cleaned up.
bought your way into a couple of the big balls, I guess, huh?
Well, the balls, you know, are a kind of joke. They're so crowded, they're so jammed, people are led to believe that they're balls. They're not. They're traffic jams. They're gridlock.
The election of John Kennedy, many felt, was a sea change for American politics. Could you feel that in the inauguration, during the inauguration?
Well, I don't think there's any question that there was a sense, that, first of all, the remarkable thing that a Catholic who had been severely attacked in 1928 when Al Smith ran, there wasn't a chance that a Catholic could be elected. And I think the sense that the country had matured to the point where a practicing Catholic could be president and the prejudices could be submerged meant a great deal to that particular election. Also in that election, we had Robert Frost, who was a great, the president, Kennedy, was a great admirer, as you remember, of Robert Frost. And that created a very strange and dangerous situation. The old poet, I think he must have been in the either early 80s or late 70s, was reading a poem, and there was a fuse that blew on the lectern. I think Frost thought it was his breath, but there was smoke that came up all over the place. And Frost just kept on reading this very beautiful poem, something about the land is ours and we are the land, something like that. But of course, a very smart Secret Service man realized that the lectern was on fire. And since everything was wooden, if he had allowed this to go on more than a couple more minutes, the entire United States government would have gone up in flames.
Yeah.
And the very there's
the power of poetry for you.
There's the power of, well, that is one of the wonderful powers of poetry. It can turn the lectern into flame.
Such as we were, we gave ourselves outright. The deed of gift was many deeds of war, to the land vaguely realizing westward, but still unstoried, artless, unenhanced, such as she was, such as she would become, has become, and for this occasion, let me change that to what she will become.
There was a massive storm the night before, which completely paralyzed Washington. This was an enormous snowfall, and that also added to the drama. And Kennedy was extremely forceful.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
What has changed over the years, do you think?
The atmosphere unquestionably has changed. No longer just the vote, but the vote with some sort of purpose. I feel that this year, that there's a sense of avenging. Mm-hmm. And it's very disturbing to me as a citizen who deeply believes in the Constitution and the peaceful transfer of power.
Do you think you, as an 18-year-old man, or would an 18-year-old man going to this inauguration, could they sense what you felt in 1933?
I frankly doubt it. This is a very strange, as you know. One can say that this particular inauguration has been decided by the Supreme Court. This raises a great many questions which will not die, even though we have to obey the law of the land. So what young people would think, I just can think of my own. I have two sons. I think they're quite skeptical about the tradition of this sort of thing, which makes me quite sad. I don't think the same sense. I think this is a very difficult and almost insoluble problem that we're facing here.
Writer Philip Hamburger is author of Matters of State, A Political Excursion, published by Counterpoint Books. He spoke with us from New York. Thanks, Philip.
Thank you, Frank. It's been a great pleasure.